Here with us for another hour of worship. Go ahead and take out your Bible and turn with me to the book of Philippians. We are continuing our series in Philippians. We are looking at chapter 3. We are halfway there. Starting in chapter 3 tonight, we're going to look at the first three verses of Philippians chapter 3. So go ahead and take out your Bible, turn there if you keep your thumb there. We're going to be going back and forth to several different Bible passages. The Bible teaches us and presents to us that it is very much concerned with genuine Christianity, authentic faith, genuine Christianity, genuine belief. And it warns us, the Bible does, over and over and over again, of the distractions that this world and Satan present to us, which tempt us to drift from the faith and to backslide, leading to an inauthentic version of Christianity within our lives. The Bible is very much concerned about genuine Christianity. Just a few verses that prove that that is true. One, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." It says, "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." So Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The Bible is very much concerned with living authentically, living in a genuine faith existence, because the devil is prowling around. So be watchful. Another passage, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, he says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." The Bible also teaches that casual Christianity is not Christianity at all, the Bible warns, and promotes genuine Christianity, authentic faith. Jesus, again, warns us in Matthew 24, verse 42. He says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." So live genuinely. Live in a spirit of authentic faith. And lastly, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." So the Bible is very much concerned about genuine Christianity and authentic faith. And that's why that there are many texts within the Bible, Scripture, which attempt to help us see if we are truly living a genuine Christian life that's pleasing to God. One of those, I believe, is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, that tells us the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." One that has been changed by the Spirit of God, one who has been immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, has repented of their sins and confessed faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit produces these aspects, that the Spirit produces within them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I can use the fruit of the Spirit as a measure to see if my faith is genuine, if I am living with authenticity in my life. Then we see within the entire book of 1 John is written for this purpose, so that we may know that we have eternal life. He states his thesis in chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So the Bible is very much concerned with genuine Christianity and authentic faith. And there are many texts within the Bible that attempt to help us to see if our faith is genuine, if it is authentic. And our passage tonight that we're going to be looking looking at in Philippians chapter 3, the first three verses, is one of those passages that help us to see if our faith is genuine and we're keeping in step with the Spirit and we're living a life that is according to the will of God and pleasing to Him. That is the gist of the passage. So look with me in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and let's read it together. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." And then he says, "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we, Christians, are the circumcision, are the true circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." So, in this text here, Paul is confronting a Jewish Christian sect called by many the Judaizers. Maybe you've heard that term before. The Judaizers were one of Paul's main opponents during his ministry. We see them all throughout the New Testament, Paul combating their theology. A Judaizer taught that in order for one to be a genuine, true, authentic Christian and to be truly right with God, he or she must conform to the law of Moses, must conform to the Mosaic law. They must keep the ceremonial law and observe Jewish customs such as feasts and Sabbaths and circumcision, among other things, in order to receive forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. They taught that the Gentiles had to become Jewish proselytes first and then receive relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ would come later after they were converted to Judaism and accepted the law of Moses as a normative practice. Now, Paul, in the New Testament, he condemns this teaching many, many, many times over because this teaching that the Judaizers promoted undermines in the most horrendous way the grace of Almighty God. The doctrine of the Judaizers promotes the idea that grace is not a free gift, but it's rather earned by human achievement, by something that I could do that would bring a smile to God's face. Now, this is a horrendous blasphemy because it implies that God's work of salvation, it wasn't enough. It was inadequate to defeat sin and death in the human heart and in the world, and because it elevates human works of merit to the same status of God's saving work through Jesus. So Paul, in a very harsh way, condemns strongly, very strongly, this doctrine. Go read the book of Galatians and you can see that that is the case. He says this in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 through 9. Says, "And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts," the Gentiles, "having cleansed their hearts by faith." Paul says here that the human heart is cleansed not by human works of achievement. And we read in other passages within Paul's writings, then quoting Isaiah, as we see in Romans chapter 3, that all righteous, all human works of achievement in attempts to earn favor in the eyes of God are like filthy rags in the eyes of a holy, righteous God. But he teaches by being humble and embracing childlike surrender of selfish pride and a full trust and reliance upon the God of the universe to save is the key to salvation and is the mode of cleansing of the hearts of God's people, both Jew and Gentile, by the saving work of Christ. Now, Paul, he speaks very strongly about the Judaizers here in this text. That's who he's talking about here. He calls them many names. I apologize, I forgot to click the screen there. The Judaizers, they taught that in order for a Christian to be truly right with God, they must conform to the Mosaic law. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul uses very harsh and strong language against the Judaizers because their doctrine was so horrendous. It kept people from knowing Jesus. He refers to them first as dogs, as you see within the text. And this is very ironic that Paul would refer to the Judaizers as dogs, because the Jews often referred to Gentiles as dogs. And Paul says, no, you Judaizers are the dogs, because you're hindering people from knowing the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and enslaving people by human works of achievement, trying to earn favor in the eyes of God. He calls them evil doers. He says this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. He says there, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light," he says. "So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Now, these Judaizers, they appear righteous. They appear like they're pleasing to God on the outside, but Paul accuses them of actually being workers of the devil, of being workers of Satan, who teach a false gospel and pollute God's offer of free salvation to the whole of humanity. He calls them evil doers. And not only does he call them dogs and evil doers, but he also refers to them as those who mutilate the flesh. And now, of course, this is another stinging rebuke against these Judaizers, who took pride in the fact that they had been circumcised according to the Old Testament law, and who were trying to convince all of the Gentiles to undergo the same operation of circumcision in order to earn their salvation from Jesus. So that's the backdrop of this text, that's who Paul is referring to here. Now, what Paul does, and how we can apply this to our life, what Paul does in this text in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, is that he gives us a portrait of what a genuine, true, authentic Christian looks like in opposition to the teaching of the Judaizers. A genuine Christian, he argues in this text, according to Paul, is one of the true circumcision, who, one, worships in the Spirit of God, who boasts in Jesus Christ, and three, puts no confidence in the flesh. Paul says that is a true Christian, in opposition to the teaching of the Judaizers. So let's break down those three defining markers of what a true Christian is and apply them to our life for the remainder of the sermon tonight. Number one, a genuine Christian is one who worships in the Spirit of God. A genuine Christian is one who worships in the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to worship in the Spirit of God? The Greek word here rendered worship in this passage is the Greek word latreo. And it's used in the New Testament not only to describe the acts of corporate worship that we do on Sunday morning, that we participate in and on every Sunday morning, but also, and more specifically, latreo does in the New Testament refer to an entire lifestyle that is lived in relationship with God. And Paul uses it in this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, in referring to his own lifestyle of service to God. Romans chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For God is my witness, whom," Paul says, "I serve, Latreo, with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you." Now, like I just said, the word rendered serve is latreo. That's the same Greek word that's used in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul implies here that his service or his worship to God is not just a casual observance that he participates in just every so often, but rather an all-encompassing, all-consuming way of life that Paul gives his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul worships and serves the Creator with every ounce and fiber of his being, every breath that he has within him, and every action he makes is intended to magnify Christ, to bring glory to him, to make him look like he really is, a treasure above all treasures. That's a lifestyle of worship that Paul is living out within his existence. That is latreo. He uses it again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve," same word, "as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." We can see here through this teaching that there is nothing casual, nothing apathetic, nothing nominal about genuine, authentic, real Christianity. So many times we approach our faith just like we approach one of our hobbies. It's something that we can set down. It's something that we can walk away from for a while and then pick back up whenever it's convenient for us. Sometimes we treat our faith as though its primary intention is to satisfy our own kind of superficial desires. But genuine, authentic faith, genuine Christianity seeks to bring honor and glory to the one true God in all that it does. That is a lifestyle of worship, of service to the living God. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Excuse me. In verse 25, it says, "Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served," latreo again, "the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen." Notice here again that Paul also explains that this lifestyle, this way of life, this all-consuming existence that I live in response to the Creator, this lifestyle of worship can actually be reverted back the other way. Instead of living a life of worship and service to the Creator, we can so very easily live a life of worship to the creature rather than the Creator and live in service of our own selfish, carnal desires. And Paul also says that this lifestyle of worship, this latreo, is one that's only made possible. It's only empowered by none other than the Holy Spirit of God, by those who have received the Spirit through faith, repentance, and baptism. He says in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, he says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The Bible teaches that when you were baptized, you weren't participating in a work to earn favor in the eyes of God. Rather, you were having a work performed upon you by the Almighty God. Jesus Christ washed you with his blood in baptism, and the Father gave you the gift of his Spirit who empowers you and strengthens you to do his will and to live this kind of a lifestyle, this kind of a lifestyle of worship, of service, and giving everything, all things, in honor and glory to God for the glory of his name. So, the way that we can apply this practically in our life, a genuine Christian, a genuine, authentic Christian, a measure of faith here that Paul is telling us, is not like a Judaizer who seeks to earn favor in the eyes of God, that seeks to bring a smile to God's face so that he may pronounce them righteous by their own works, by their own deeds. A genuine Christian is not one who seeks to do that. A genuine Christian is not one who seeks to elevate their own works to the status of God's work, he's saying. But rather, a genuine Christian is one who worships in the Spirit of God, having been washed in the blood of Jesus at the point of baptism, having received the promised Holy Spirit, and who is keeping in step, using initiative, effort on their part, keeping in step with the Spirit of God, living for the glory of Jesus Christ in all things, in all that they do. That is a marker that Paul tells us of genuine faith, of genuine Christianity. Now, lastly this morning, I'm going to couple the two last measures that he gives of genuine, authentic Christianity together. Lastly tonight, Paul tells us that a genuine Christian is one who boasts in Christ Jesus and puts no confidence in the flesh. And those are really one and the same realities. A genuine Christian boasts in Jesus Christ and puts no confidence in the flesh. Now, you've probably noticed by now, if you have your Bible out, that the text does not say boasts in Christ Jesus. Whatever translation you're using, it probably says something like glory in Christ. The ESV says glory. I think the American Standard says glory. I think the King James says rejoice in Christ. So you may see something different there. If you look in the Greek word rendered glory there and rejoice in other translations in this text is most often translated as boast in the New Testament. And we can faithfully use this word boast in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. So a genuine Christian is one who boasts in Jesus Christ, one who boasts in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? One who boasts in Jesus. When I think about the word boast, oftentimes I think of someone who boasts in themselves, who makes much of themselves, who brags about themselves, who makes themselves look notable and prominent in the eyes of others and seeks glory for their own self, one who boasts in themselves. And it does mean all of that, one who brags, one who tries to make themselves look notable or prominent. Now, Paul's accusation against the Judaizers here was that they boasted in the law of Moses. They boasted in the law of Moses. They bragged about it and put their ultimate confidence and trust in the Old Testament law. He says this in Romans chapter 2, verse 23. Romans chapter 2, verse 23. He says, "You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law." Now, here the action of boasting in the law means that the Judaizers trusted, they placed their full confidence and trust in their own adherence to the law to make them righteous before a whole almighty holy God. The foundation of their faith and their confidence was primarily in their obedience to the Creator's commands within the Old Testament. And Paul says here in other places that this boasting in the law, placing one's confidence and trust in the law, is completely and utterly foolish because no one can keep the law perfectly. No one is righteous. No, not one. God is a holy, righteous God who demands perfection in law keeping. One transgression, we learn in other places within Scripture, makes a person accountable to the entire law, makes a person accountable to the entire thing. So the Judaizers here are actually dishonoring the name of God, and they're boasting in the law because they have failed to keep the law themselves that God requires, and are judging themselves. Paul says this in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He says, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." You see here, one of the primary purposes of the law was to show us, to reveal to us our inability to even keep the law. The law shows us what sin is. It reveals to us sin, and it points us to the need of a Savior that we cannot save ourselves. Placing your confidence in the law, Paul says here, is futile, because you've already broken the law. You've blown it. You've transgressed the law. The only way that one may have a right standing with God is through a Savior, is through Jesus, who has performed the work himself to set us free. That's what Paul argues over and over and over again in response to these Judaizers. So, a genuine Christian, a genuine authentic Christian, Paul says, is one who doesn't boast in their own works of the law, their own deeds of achievement, which is really just a hidden form of pride inside the human heart. Boasting in my own accomplishments, thinking that I can climb the ladder to heaven somehow and earn favor in the sight of God is just a. It's really just a form of hidden pride within my heart if I have that kind of mentality. But he says that one who boasts in the Savior, one who places their ultimate trust and confidence in another who has the power to save and realizes that they themselves can't save their own self, Jesus Christ, that person will be accounted righteous, the one who boasts in Jesus Christ and is fully dependent upon Him for every need that they have. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. It says, "God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord Christ Jesus." We see here that the focus of a believer's life is Jesus Christ. It's not himself. It's not his own works of achievement. what he could do to earn, he or she could do to earn favor in the eyes of God, but one who looks to Jesus, who keeps their eyes upon Jesus, who is fully surrendered to Jesus and sees him as the source of every spiritual need that they have and every physical need for that matter, and one who finds strength and sufficiency in him alone. Paul says, that's what he's saying in this text, that is a genuine Christian. One who finds their source of sustenance, sufficiency, and need only in Christ Jesus and in nowhere else. That is an authentic faith. That is a genuine Christian. So tonight, I'm going to ask you, are you a genuine, authentic Christian? Are you living a lifestyle that's empowered by the Spirit of God, or are you like the church at Laodicea, who was lukewarm, apathetic in faith, and just casually following Jesus? Are you boasting, as Paul makes reference to? Are you boasting in none other than Jesus Christ, placing your complete and full trust and confidence in him, not in your own flesh, not in your own works, or are you allowing your sinful pride and ego to make you think that you could earn favor with God, boasting in yourself, in your own works? The blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that no matter what your circumstance is, no matter where you find yourself tonight, he sits upon a throne of grace. And he offers mercy and grace to every single person that seeks him, that surrenders to him, that is poor in spirit and is fully dependent and fully reliant upon him. Let's all together embrace this kind of mentality and live genuinely and live authentically in this world, pointing people to Jesus. If you have any need tonight, if there's anything that we can pray with you about, or if you know that you need Jesus, come forward tonight, repent of your sins, confess faith in him, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Come forward if you have any need as we stand and as we sing.